morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by live blog directors Jamie George and John Rahor. We're talking some Packers football this morning. Got a big crew checking in on a Friday morning here. Good to see such a nice crowd checking in on the live blog. We've got BT Carlson tweeted me up. He's checking in all the way from overseas. From Britain. We got Pigskin Paul joining us. Kyle Cousineau, EC Wiscott. Thanks, everyone. You know, yesterday, the title of our show is The Packers Quiet in the Supplemental Draft. And that was the big event on the NFL calendar yesterday, the supplemental draft. And, you know, it wasn't surprising that the Packers weren't active. I mean, only one team in the entire NFL was. The Cleveland Browns sent a second-round draft choice away in next year's draft for the rights to grab Josh Gordon, former Baylor wide receiver, during yesterday. Leviticus 268 says, "Where's my shout out?" There it is. Thanks for joining us. I can see early on here, Pigskin Paul writing on the live blog, "To my knowledge, the only time the Packers have ever used a supplemental draft choice was on Mike Wall back in the Wolf era." And what a good choice that was. Mike Wall, he was so underrated in his time with the Packers. Perhaps not in his first couple years, but once he got a little experience under his belt, literally one of the best guards in the entire NFL. That's not even an exaggeration. Not even. He was at the prime of Mike Wall's career. He was freaking awesome. I love that guy. The Packers quiet yesterday. You know, there was probably only three guys. There was eight guys eligible for the supplemental draft total. And I couldn't even name them all to you. I mean, only three of them were probably even worth even thinking about drafting. Josh Gordon, obviously a talent. I mean, the Browns sent a second round draft choice on him. Talented player. Got some issues there. He transferred to Utah and didn't end up playing, got kicked out of the program. But still, a talented, talented player. The one guy I thought the Packers may possibly, perhaps consider was former Texas Christian running back Ed Wesley. Perhaps part of it because of the lack of depth at the running back position in Green Bay. Packers relying on a bunch of inexperienced players to hold down the fort there. And so I thought perhaps they might think about it, spend a late rounder, maybe a seventh rounder on Ed Wesley. They didn't end up doing so. Perhaps part of the reason was because he had a pro day workout earlier this week, in which he ran a 4.68 40-yard dash, which isn't terrible, but I mean, it wasn't exactly what you want to see from a draft choice, you know. And perhaps, who knows, he's probably going to sign a contract with some team somewhere. And who knows, maybe it still could be the Packers. Packers, he can sign with any team he wants right now. Ed Wesley is available, and all these guys who went undrafted yesterday are available to sign with any team. So, you know, it's not entirely out of the question that the Packers could sign one of these guys yet. And the other guy who was maybe worth even thinking about was Larry Lumpkin, a linebacker from, where was it? Some small school FCS college. Bethune-Cookman? That wasn't it, was it? I'm getting my, it was like two names though. But anyhow, The Packers didn't end up selecting him either, nor did any other team in the NFL. But he should probably sign on somewhere, you would think, perhaps, given a chance by some NFL team. So, Carson Newman. There we go. So, without the Packers being active in the supplemental draft, you know, one of the few things going on yesterday in the world of the Green Bay Packers was Greg Jennings' appearance on the NFL Network. He joined NFL Total Access yesterday on the NFL Network for an interview. He joined the host, you know, talked for quite a while, answered several questions. And that was about the only thing going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers yesterday. But good to see Greg Jennings doing something like that during the offseason in the weeks before training camp here. In fact, he's holding quite a schedule. He was in Los Angeles for the ESPYs the day previous on Wednesday. So Greg Jennings being a busy guy. So EC Wisconsin's the Total Access replay is currently showing on the NFL Network. There you go. DVR it. Watch it after Railbird Central. How about that? I don't discourage you from watching Total Access, just not during Railbird Central time. Because we're going to talk about it right now. And, you know, several of the things that Greg Jennings says. And I think one thing is, you know, was really in particular interesting. And if you scroll down to the bottom right-hand side of your page, you can see our most recent post, the links for this morning's Packers Daily Links. I shared what Greg Jennings said. If you want to open that and take a look at it, he talks about the Packers running game. And basically, the folks at the NFL Network asked him, you know, what's the one big question for every NFC North team heading into training camp? And, you know, he addressed the Lions, the Bears, the Vikings. But when they talked about the Packers, Greg Jennings basically admitted, and, you know, he was speaking for the offense only. I'm sure maybe perhaps the biggest question on the Packers could be the defense, but Greg Jennings, of course, being an offensive player, here's what he said, and I'll read his quote here. Bear with me. Quote, Greg Jennings says, "The biggest question, I'm going to do a little self-scouting because defenses don't prepare for our run game. Defensive coordinators aren't racking their brain. Oh my gosh, we have to stop their running game. So can we sustain this high level of explosive level offense without a run game? It's going to be interesting to see. I'm in belief that we're going to fix our running game and we're going to get it going this year. But that's probably going to be the number one focus of us meaning that us within that locker room, that we know we need to change something on that side of the ball." So there you go. Coming from straight inside the locker room, Greg Jennings talking about the Packers needing to get the run game going. And that kind of leads perfectly into the little segments we want to do here on Railbird Central prior to training camp. We started just yesterday, our last episode of Railbird Central on Wednesday, breaking down the quarterback position. And today, Friday, we're going to start breaking down the running backs. And we're going to go through one position every week. I imagine next Monday we'll get to the wide receivers as well as we continue to break down the offensive side of the football. But yeah, Greg Jennings saying the running game needs to get going. No doubt about it. I mean, I think I've heard this many times and seen it in many places about if only the Packers' running game was better, it would take more pressure off the passing game. It would take pressure off Aaron Rodgers. And of course, that would certainly seem to be the case on the surface, would it not? If you want to chime in about the Packers' running game, about the supplemental draft, about anything, feel free to call into the show, 347-352-0154. If you want to share your thoughts, feel free. Until anybody does, I'm going to talk about the running game a little bit. and we can get into our breakdown, perhaps, of the running backs here, starting with the presumed starter at running back, the halfback, the tailback, James Starks. Ryan Grant, of course, is now gone. I suppose it's maybe not official yet because he's technically still a free agent. You know, Ryan Grant, his contract expired. Now a free agent. The Packers haven't re-signed him. No team in the NFL has re-signed him. I was kind of surprised, actually, seeing as he had a decent season last year. And who knows? I mean, all of a sudden an injury pops up and Ryan Grant could be back in at a moment's notice. But without him, James Starks, the starter, until proven otherwise, until he doesn't deserve it. And James Starks, of course, has a lot of things going for him. The hero, everybody will remember what he did during the playoff run in 2010. Did a really good job, especially considering his relative inexperience. Did a good job, led the entire NFL in rushing during the 2010 postseason only. But, I mean, really did a good job, helped the Packers win a Super Bowl there. Everybody will remember him for that. And last year, you know, he did a good job, but he once again had a hard time staying healthy. And this is something that, you know, James Starks has been an issue for him pretty much for years, dating back to college. Missed his entire senior year of college, the whole year, at the University of Buffalo due to injury. He had that shoulder injury. Missed three quarters of his rookie season in the NFL with, what was it, a hamstring issue. Was ended up putting on the PUP list and couldn't come back until like week 9. Rarely played in the regular season. Got a little bit of playing time at the end of the year. And of course he did in the playoffs. But then missed several more games during the 2011 season due to a variety of injuries. Ankle, knee, you name it. He had some like 13 carries in the last 5 games of the year combined. So it's, you know, James Starks, there's a lot of question marks about him yet. But when he's healthy, when he's been on the field, he's shown that he can be a threat. The problem is staying on the field. And it's also being consistent. You know, there were a lot of little things last year that just, you know, he's not fully, you know, probably the best pass blocker yet. He's coming along. He does some good things. But every just once in a while, he'll make a mistake totally where he just does the wrong thing, goes to the wrong side of the football, things like that. That just has to be eliminated. James Stark made some mistake in the playoff games against the New York Giants, the loss, where he went to the, what was it? He went, took the ball to the wrong side of the field. I forget exactly what it was, but little mental errors like that holding James Stark's back a little. And so, it's his starting job to lose right now. And, you know, let's look at what they have behind them. The Packers have, for one, one of the backups would be Alex Green, rookie last season, 2010 third-round draft choice. And, you know, he missed a lot of time last year, tore his ACL midseason, just as he was starting to be utilized in the offense, just as soon as the Packers were getting comfortable making him part of the offense, he goes and tears his ACL on special teams of all things and is out for the year. And so now it's a question too of whether, you know, where is he in his recovery, in his comeback? Is he going to be ready for the start of training camp? It's probably one of those things I have to imagine, and I'm just guessing here, that he's going to be brought back slowly during training camp. He probably could go. He'll probably be recovered and ready, but the Packers will bring him along slowly. They might hold him out here and there, or limit him in certain drills, things like that. And then slowly, maybe as training camp goes on, you get late in training camp, he's contributing more and more, and then he's finally ready to go full go once the regular season starts. I think that's where maybe Alex Green is at. But he's very unproven, obviously. Didn't get a whole lot of playing time last year, and of course, you know, limited by injuries. So the Packers don't really know what they have in him yet. He is a big body for a tailback, a halfback, been compared to Steven Jackson of the St. Louis Rams. And that's an impressive comparison. And certainly I'm sure the Packers would love if he's, can play like that. And I actually think he kind of is like Ryan Grant a little bit. So, that's where the Packers are at with Alex Green, a guy who might actually see more playing time than Alex Green, I think, actually, is Brandon Sane, who basically took over for Alex Green last year when he was injured. And I think Brandon Sane has a lot of the good things going for him. Brandon Sane has the speed. He's probably the fastest running back on the Packers. That's the biggest thing ever. You have to be well-rounded and not just have flat-out plain old speed. But he's got that working in his favor. He is a good receiver out of the backfield, as he's shown in limited opportunities, but also did in the preseason last year, where he got a little more playing time. And so you got those. He's got the speed. He's got the receiving ability. I think he can definitely be utilized. Those skills can be utilized in the Packers offense that likes to pass the ball so often. You know, he could be the guy who takes screen passes. He can take those swing passes. I think he can, you know, he's just got to do everything else now to see more playing time. He has to be trusted with his pass blocking. He's got to be able to run between the tackles. I mean, albeit he's not going to be asked to do that a lot. But I mean, if you're going to spell James Starks once in a while, you know, he's got to be able to do that a little bit. You know, you got to be run the 4-minute offense a little bit and run out the clock sometimes too. So Brandon Sane has to become a well-rounded running back in order to do that. And who knows what the Packers are going to do as far as breaking up the carries. Will James Starks be the featured back and get 80% of the team's carries, at least among the halfbacks? Who knows? I don't know. Marcus Eversole on her live blog commenting and saying Starks will have a big year. That doesn't mean his impact will come completely as a runner. I just wish with increased opportunities as the featured back, he'll catch a lot of passes and he'll put up some good numbers if he stays healthy. Brian comments on the live blog. Running game, it just needs to do enough. A combination of all the above, I think, will be okay. So there you go. There's some other thoughts on the running game. Of course, the Packers also have their starter at fullback, John Kuhn. And, you know, part of the reason maybe that the Packers didn't re-sign a guy like Ryan Grant, they didn't, you know, pursue anybody else in free agency, is that John Kuhn is so reliable. Not flashy, but reliable. A guy who can do almost anything for you. I mean, he's obviously, his primary role is fullback on the team. But he is a short yardage and goal line ball carrier. He can function as the tailback on the team in a pinch, frequently lines up in one back sets, is really good at pass protection, actually. I suppose the one thing you wish that he was better at, perhaps, is probably the main thing you actually ask a fullback to do, and that's to be a bulldozing blocker, lead blocker. And he's an okay blocker. He's not bad, but he's not the bulldozer type. So you know, John Kuhn doesn't have quite going that for him, but you know he does do other things well though. He's easily, in my opinion, and I am not a talent evaluator, but I don't think I'm going out on a limb too much to say he's the best ball carrying fullback in the entire NFL, on the entire planet. Now, I mean, when you only carry the ball 40 times a year, is that talent really all that important? It's important, certainly. I mean, the Packers, they get a lot of mileage out of John Kuhn carrying the football because he does do it in important situations like the goal line, like short yardage, like third and one, fourth and one, things like that, has been in the past. He, too, of course, now here's the kicker with John Kuhn, too. He would have went on injured reserve had the Packers season not ended to the New York Giants last year. Would have went on injured reserve. I'm saying that. Nobody else is. The organization isn't saying that. But he injured his knee in that game. And, as you know, he didn't end up playing in the Pro Bowl, even though he was voted in. So the Packers do have to see where he's at in his recovery as well. Good news, though, during the Packers offseason program, John Kuhn came back. He sat out quite a while and then ended up coming back and started participating toward the end as the Packers got into the minicamp time frame of their offseason program. So that's a good thing. Beyond John Kuhn, the other guys they have for fullbacks are John Hazy, a guy who was a rookie last year, and then the other guy they signed as an undrafted rookie this year, Nick Cooper. Nobody really knows too much about those guys yet. Maybe we'll find out more in training camp. But the last two guys I want to talk about a little bit here, and I see on the live blog, got into a brief discussion about them, Jamie Jores, Pigskin Paul, talking about Merk Tyler, the undrafted running back from USC, could be a bit of a find for the Packers. You know, after the draft was over, the Packers tried to sign the best undrafted players available, and one they thought could be would be Merk Tyler, the running back from USC, and obviously there's some notoriety there. I mean, USC is known as a top-notch football program, and if you're the starting running back there, you're a pretty talented fellow, to say the least. He wasn't good enough to be drafted, but I think Merk Tyler was good enough to be invited to the NFL Combine, and he didn't put up elite numbers, you know, comparable to other guys who were drafted. At least. But he's shown some maturity, or should I call it immaturity, issues at USC. You know, has he been caught underage drinking, stuff like that. Nothing too big, but, you know, just got to get his head, squared on straight. And just becoming older tends to do that for people. So, as long as he doesn't do anything more than underage drinking, perhaps, that's not anything too big anyway. Jamie Jores reminds us he was suspended by USC for the first game last season. Pigskin Paul is saying, I'm being too kind. Tyler was dead last in his 40 time at the Combine among the running back group. Okay, I'm being too kind. But anyhow, so... But granted, though, 40 time is not everything. We talk about being well-rounded. If you can do other things well, it certainly makes up for it. If you are strong, perhaps, if you are the type of guy who can run in between the tackles and break tackles, that doesn't necessarily show up in a 40 time. If you are a solid pass blocker, and he had to do that for Matt Barkley at USC, that helps as well. And, you know, perhaps just the Packers hope he improves. So possibly the Packers could have a find here. We don't know what we have yet. He's going to get his shot in training camp, and he'll be one of the guys to watch. If you're sitting there at practice at Reinitschke Field, you have the opportunity to go watch him. That's going to be one of the entertaining things you'll get to see. And finally, the other undrafted rookie, Dwayne Bennett, out of Minnesota, was a featured back there, ended up getting a lot of carries. But of course, Minnesota didn't have a whole lot of success in his time there either. And you know, he wasn't like an all Big Ten performer or anything either. You know, overshadowed by guys like Monty Ball of Wisconsin. He's not Monty Ball. The big thing is in his interviews after he was signed by the Packers, Dwayne Bennett said, like, the best thing he does is pass protection. And you know, when you play for the Green Bay Packers and you're protecting Aaron Rodgers, that is a good quality. So he's got that going for him. But again, just like all these guys we've been talking about, have to become well-rounded players. They can't just do one thing well. And again, we don't really know what we have on our hands yet. We're going to give them all the chance to prove what they can show, starting with training camp. And now, less than 2 weeks' time. As of yesterday, training camp was 2 weeks away. The start of training camp practices in Green Bay. So now less than 2 weeks away. Are you excited? Are you ready? Baseball season's winding down. The All-Star break is over. It's on the downslide. And football season is just about to get ramped up. If you're a football fan, that's a good thing. It's nothing against baseball. I love baseball too. It's almost a shame that they have to overlap their seasons. But this show is about football, so we're going to focus on the football side of it. So there you go. There's your running back preview here on Railbird Central, breaking down the team. So who knows where the Packers will be at, coming full circle here and going back to Greg Jennings' comments yesterday that the Packers' running game needs to improve. It sure would be nice if it did. Their game is so focused with the pass that, you know, it's almost a secondary thought, the run game. But man, if it could be good, if it could be effective, it would only take pressure off the passing game, take pressure off Aaron Rodgers. It certainly would be nice, and I'm sure that's what the Packers are hoping. Mike McCarthy made comments this offseason, going back to the NFL Combine again, talked about getting that running game going, how that would be a focus for the team this year, how the Packers might perhaps be getting away a little bit from their zone blocking scheme. Perhaps not entirely, but getting back to perhaps more of a power-oriented offense. And maybe it's because of the personnel they have on the offensive line now that will allow them to do that. You know, you're getting some good guys. Darren College is now gone. Everybody remembers he was kind of a, you know, as far as offensive linemen go, finesse. Been replaced with TJ Lang, who's more physical. You've got Brian Bulaga holding down the fort on the right side now. Physical player. Good all around. Right tackle. Good in both the block, pass and running game, but, you know, certainly good at both. Josh Sinton, obviously a road grader. Probably the best, most physical offensive lineman on the team. You hope Marshall Newhouse improves. We wait and see how well he does during training camp as well. Another guy to keep an eye on. But perhaps the personnel is in place along the offensive line. For a bigger and better running game this year, this season in 2012. But folks, it's just about 9 o'clock here. Thanks for joining us this morning on Railbird Central. Have a great weekend. We'll be back once again on Monday for another episode as we get ready for training camp here, get ready for some Packers football. Thanks for joining us this morning. On behalf of Jamie George, John Rahor, I'm Brian Kiravu. Check in Cheesehead TV all the time for the latest Green Bay Packers news. And we'll see you later, everyone. Have a good weekend. Go Pack, go. I leave you with a song called Believe the Lie by Umphreys McGee
on Sci Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone.